coming and joining you. Got familiar with a number of folks in Sunday school. For those of you we've not met, our ministry carries us around the world. This is our 38th year in evangelism, and we're looking forward to partnering with you. How many of you, this is your first time to come to Shadow Mountain? I'm a guest, so I'm going to raise my hand. Anybody else visiting today? All right, good. We're glad to have you. And these folks will treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them, and you'll keep coming back. My wife's name is Regina. The word means queen. I married her so I could be a king. Amen. Working really good for 43 years. We have three children. The oldest is Ben. Ben is an associate pastor in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Colonial Hills Baptist Church. Married a beautiful little gal named Tara, and they have two children, Clayton and Chloe. How many of you are grandparents? Would you raise your hand? God bless you, bunch of old people. Good to see you this morning. You know the grandchildren's God's rewards to you for not killing your kids. We let all of ours live. They're bearing fruit. We do have a single daughter named Beth. She's an ER nurse and travels around the world and does mission work, touching the body in order to touch the soul. Our youngest daughter is Becky. She's married to the program director at the Wiles Christian Camp and Conference Center, Joe. Excitingly enough, Joe gave his life to preach under our ministry, and so we're watching him now raise the three grandchildren on that side. So there's five. That's our tribe. I'm looking forward to partnering with you and your pastor during these days and praying that God is going to work. Every night will be special. Wednesday night, Bible Prophecy Night. We'll look at this topic, what to expect if you miss the coming of Jesus Christ. We know He's coming. The Bible tells us He is. It does not tell us when He is. But there's some things that will take place on planet Earth. You need to know them. You need to bring somebody under the sound of the Word of God. Tonight, Be Back Night. Service at 5, if I'm correct. Would you plan to be back tonight? You say, you know what's on television. It really doesn't make any difference. Do you know what's in the book? And that's what makes a difference. You see, television can change your life for the bad, but the Word of God will change your life for the good. And so plan to be with us tonight. How many would say, by the grace of God, I'll plan to be back in the Sunday night service? Would you raise your hand real high? Going to look forward to having you and everybody that you're going to bring. If you have special requests for prayer, let us know. Give them to the pastor. He'll give them to me. And we'll partner with you for the glory of God to touch some lives during these days. How many of you have a Bible this morning? Would you hold it up good and high like this? Now, I'm going to do what I do at camp, all right? Push it back and forth just like this. We just stuck it in the devil's face. You understand the only book Satan flees from is this book? It's in your hand. Open this powerful book to Acts chapter number 1. The book of Acts chapter number 1. Stand, please, as I read this passage of Scripture to you. From verses 6, 7, and 8. Acts 1, 6, 7, and 8. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again to the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice the center of verse 8, these words, ye shall be witnesses unto me. I want to start this crusade talking about the biggest business in all the world. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord, for the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Thank you for bringing Pastor Haynes here in these moments that I have to partner with them for the glory of God. If anybody's come to church, not to Christ, may this be the time and the place they understand the difference between a religion and a relationship. For those of us that know who you are and we have been born again, may we understand this business, get actively, readily involved in it, and I'll give you the praise, honor, glory in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. If I walked up to you and I said, what is the biggest business in the entire world, what would you answer? Your response was Exxon, Chevron, Microsoft, Apple, or even Walmart, you'd be wrong. Biggest business in all the world is not financial, legal, medical, or even educational. It is a spiritual business. It's called witnessing. And I know that from the words of my Savior as a 12-year-old boy recorded in Luke 2:49 when he said, wist you not, then it must be about my Father's business, occupied with the affairs of my Father. What were they? He declared in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. L.R. Scarborough said, go after souls. It's the biggest business in all the world. John Wesley said, you have one business, brethren, the business of lost souls. Even the Reformed theologian Charlie Spurgeon said, our main business is to win souls. If that's true, Why do so few born-again believers get actively, regularly involved in the biggest business in all the world? Zondervan Research said recently 97% of those who say I'm saved have no evangelistic outreach at all. It's further been estimated by the time the average Christian dies, 95% of them will have led no one to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why does it appear that nobody's telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody? I think there are three reasons. One, because of fear. I'm just getting to know you folks, but I know this, we all have fears. One of them is, would we offend that person? Would they turn on us? Will they never speak to us again? There's the fear of the presentation. I might miss a verse. I might not do it right. There's fear. Second, there's a mentality of failure, and somehow people feel that if they witness and the person they witness to does not get saved, then they're a failure. You understand this? Our responsibility is to witness. God's responsibility is to save. Then there's a third reason. It's just flesh. Somehow you think the reason you're here is more important than the reason God sent you here. Jesus Christ dealt with all three of these on the Mount of Olives on the day of his ascension. He's assembled and assigned his disciples. One of them pipes up and says, Lord, will you at this time again restore again the kingdom of Israel? In essence, Jesus said, that's irrelevant. My Father will take care of that. Here's what's important. He shall be witnesses unto me. I want to ask and answer this morning, how can every born-again, blood-washed believer get actively, regularly involved in the biggest business in all the world? Look down, please, at verse 8, because the Bible teaches us the answer to this question. Here's what it says, ye shall receive power. First thing I want you to see this morning is this, the convictions of a soul winner. Conviction. A conviction is that about which you're convinced and compelled to do something about. Let me tell you between that and an opinion. You may think that you're convinced, but if you're not compelled to do something about it, you just have an opinion. Great convictions precede great actions. Here's conviction number one that you need to log in your mind. According to this, we have ability in Christ to be a witness. The word power means ability given by God. You realize if you're saved, inside you is God. God, the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you, he's the same Holy Spirit who came in creating power, Genesis 1 and 1. He anointed Jesus, Matthew 8 and verse 11, and he raised Jesus from the dead. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us, now how could you say, I can't, when inside you is the God of the universe? You say, well, preacher, I get scared. Well, join the crowd. That's normal. But what's supernatural is to let God take that which is natural and change you by his power. In the book of Acts chapter 4, the disciples been threatened, you witness, you go to jail. They called a prayer meeting. The Bible says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. Get it? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God with boldness. Cowards became conquerors by the power of the Holy Spirit. Preacher, you don't understand my personality. Well, this may shock you, but the man is preaching to you today. When I was a 15-year-old boy, could not give an oral book report without getting scared out of my mind. Can you identify? How many of you have ever had to give an oral book report? Would you raise your hand? You know why teachers make you do that? They hate you. That's why. Either that or they hated what they had to hear. Pastor, I got up, and as the boy said, if I'm lying, I'm dying, and I forgot the title of the book. It's a great blessing. You just stand there looking. You say, well, preacher, you're preaching at 90 miles an hour, the gust up to 120. What happened? You'll have to ask him. There's no natural reason for what I'm doing today. Now, friend, if you say, I can't witness, one of two things is true. You're either unsaved or you're unsurrendered. Now, if you're unsaved, never met Jesus, you don't have anything to testify of. I was preaching in Cambodia. We'd had hundreds come to Christ. It was the morning that I was to leave. A missionary I had not met named Ron picked me up. Said, Dr. Farrell, I'm going to take you to get a meal and then put you on the plane. I said, great. I said, Ron, I always like to ask people their testimony. Now, by that I mean frame up your testimony. When did you get saved? Where did you get saved? Who led you to Christ? How do you know you're going to heaven? He said, well, this will shock you, but I was a Southern Baptist assistant pastor, still in the United States military, and I was lost. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, my pastor came and said, Ron, we're going to go soul winning. He said, we got in the car, and I figured he'd do the talking. He said, we got to the first house. The lady opened the door. My pastor said, I'm Pastor so-and-so from such-and-such a Baptist church. This is my assistant, Brother Ron, and he has something to tell you. He said, I stood there and said, I got saved when I was a child. I got saved when I was a child. He said, that's all I could say. I was always told I got saved as a child. He said, I didn't know anything about it, and I got under conviction, and 2 weeks later, I got saved. Friend, until you are converted, you have no way of communicating what has not happened to you. But when you get saved by the grace of God, you have ability in Christ. But look again, he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be. We not only have ability in Christ, we have authority from Christ. He didn't say you might be, could you be, or would you be. He said, ye shall be. Same Jesus who said, Matthew 4:19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's authority. Same Jesus who said in Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. 5:14, you're the light of the world. Same Jesus who in Luke 14:23 says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Prayed in John 17:18, Father, as thou hast sent them in the world, has sent me in the world, so have I sent them in the world. Interesting word, S-E-N-T. Used 123 times, King James Version of the Bible. It is a military mandate. Jesus was saying, Father, you sent me under your orders. I'm sending all of our children under my orders. And dear friend, when God says do and you don't, you realize that is sin. Have you ever stopped to consider witness? I was born and raised in North Carolina, and I can't tell you all the laws of California. But I have a distinct feeling that this will be true. If you are summoned to court to be a witness, that means you're supposed to go and tell under oath what you have seen, heard, and know. You refuse to go, you can be arrested and put in prison. It's called contempt of court. How many of you realize when God commands you to witness and you don't, that's called contempt of Christ? What is a witness? In the New Testament, the word comes from our English term, martyr. What does a martyr do? He believes so much in something, he's willing to sacrifice anything, everything, including his life, for that in which he believes. Pastor, I'm sitting on a plane witnessing to a man not long ago, and he said, why don't you mind your own business? And I said, I am. Because the biggest business in the world is witnessing. We have ability in Christ. We have authority from Christ. Wait a minute. We have accountability to Christ. The passage says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day, not only are we going to see him, but he's going to see us. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:12, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done. Whether it be good, good to witness, or bad, bad if you do not. You may choose never to hear me preach again, but you have a date with deity. You may choose never to come to this church again, but you are going to meet God. Can you imagine kneeling in outer space on nothing, held up only by the omnipotent power of God? He holds out his nail-scarred hands and says, I did all this for you. Let's see what you did for me. And you have to look at him and announce publicly, you directly disobeyed and were not involved in the biggest business in all the world. Let me say to some of you, you say, preacher, I've witnessed. I haven't seen a lot of people saved. That's God's responsibility. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus said, he that obeys me, him will my Father honor. You realize if you'll honor him here, he will honor you hereafter. Think about it. We have ability in Christ. We have authority from Christ. We have accountability to Christ. Those are convictions that you need to internalize. Second, the communication of Scripture. Now, what are we going to say if we're going to witness? If we're going to tell people something, what are we going to tell? It's called the good news. It's the gospel. Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3. The next few moments, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to show everybody in this building a way to witness. So would you do this morning, please? Get out a pen, because I'm going to help you put a roadmap through the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't have a pen. Check with your wife. She has 17 of them in her purse. All right? Get one of those and get ready to put a road map through the Bible. That's one of the things I'm going to do. Number two, if you're here and you're not certain you're going to heaven, I said you're not certain you're going to heaven. While I show everybody how to witness, I'm going to witness to you. I'm going to tell you bad news and good news. And the best news is, if you believe the good news and receive it, that news will stand you good for all eternity. And we're going to start in John chapter 3. Everybody go there, would you please? Notice verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Preacher, why do you start here? Have you ever tried to tell somebody how to get saved and you said this? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? And they said, I'm Baptist, Catholic, Methodist. I've been confirmed. You ever done that? What they're saying is this, I'm religious. Now, nobody you've ever met in the entire world is more religious than Nicodemus. Let me explain. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which means separated one. Nicodemus and his cronies fasted 2 out of every 7 days, do you? They gave 10% of everything they owned, do you? They had Bible verses in their clothing, do you? You've never met anybody this religious. Now notice what Jesus said to the most religious man in the world, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Circle the phrase, born again. Let's say it together, born again. One more time, born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me explain that. Jesus just leveled Nicodemus. He just took the wind out of his sails. He just said, you can fast twice a week. You can give 10% of all you own. You can have Bible verses in your clothing. But you're not going to go to my heaven unless you're born again. Talk about confrontational. Look at his confusion, verse 4. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb? Be born. Nicodemus says, now you're telling me as a senior saint, I'm going back inside my mother? I'm going to come out a second time? Look at the loving rebuke of Jesus, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, there's one birth, and of the Spirit, there's a second birth. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right there, I knew your Baptists were wrong. Right there it says, water, you got to get baptized to go to heaven. No, it says water. It doesn't say you have to get baptized to go to heaven. Go to verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. There's the water birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus never asked about being baptized. He said, do I go back inside my mother and come out a second time? That's the fleshly birth. Listen carefully. That's the water birth. It's very simple. He was explaining it. Now, how many of you understand that your first birth, you were carried in mom in an amniotic sac. The water broke. For centuries, it's been called the water birth. Into the world you came. Do you realize you did not birth yourself? You did not sneak up on your mother and say, hi, guess who's here? Before your mother, before you knew you were going to be a child, she knew she was going to be a mother. You did not birth yourself. You received the gift of earthly life from God through your parents. If you go to heaven, you must receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus because both are gifts. Now, the bottom line is this. Nobody going to see heaven, step in heaven, or live in heaven unless you are born again. That's why I start here. Now, here's a transition phrase because people say, I'm not sure what to say next. Here's a transition phrase. You're probably thinking, what's wrong with my first birth? I'm a very curious individual. I'll ask a lot of questions. So here's what I would ask if somebody said, you got to be born again. I would say, what's wrong with my first birth? Doesn't everybody go to heaven anyway? Take your Bible, turn to the book of Romans. If you're not real familiar with your Bible, hang a right, go through Acts, park at Romans, go to chapter 3. We're going to answer the question, what's wrong with my first birth? Verse 9, 3:9. What then are we better than they, knowing no wise? We be foreproved, both Jews and Gentiles. Watch it. They are all under sin. I did this on the airplane recently. Talk to me, church. According to the Bible, how many people are under sin? Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Church, how many people are born righteous? None. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many people have sinned? There's three. I could give you 300 verses. Here's what the Bible says. Everybody was born in sin. What does that word mean? It means to miss the mark. Now, there's a football game on this afternoon. A man can drop back like Brady, and he can drop one right in the numbers of his pass receiver, but if he drops it, the mark is missed. Really doesn't make any difference how much they pay him, doesn't make any difference how astute he is. Either you got it or you don't. Here's what Jesus said. On your best day, on your best behavior, you're not good, you're bad. The word means to miss the mark. God's perfect, we're imperfect. God's holy, we're unholy. How's an unholy, imperfect person going to be holy and perfect? You say, I'll go to church. Well, what that'll make you is an imperfect churchgoer. You say, I will join this church. Well, that would make you a Baptist sinner. You say, then I will get baptized. That'll make you a wet Baptist sinner. Then I'll study my Bible. You'll be an intelligent, wet Baptist sinner. But notice you still have not marched up to the equality of God. You realize if you miss the perfection of God by a centimeter, you might as well miss it by 10 miles. Makes no difference. All have sinned. Now, somebody said, I don't believe I'm a sinner. Well, let me give you three chances and see how well you do. We're going to do three of the Ten Commandments. Would anybody like to stand up today and say, I've never in my entire life wanted something wasn't mine? Uh-oh, that's called covetousness. Strike one. Would anybody like to stand and say today, I have never in my entire life told anything but the absolute truth? That's strike two. That's called lying. Anybody like to stand up and say, I have never taken anything that didn't belong to me, including an answer off somebody else's test paper? Uh-oh, one, two, three strikes and you're out, and that's only 3 out of 10, because that would make you a lying, thieving, covetous individual. And Jesus said, if you break one commandment, you're guilty of all. What's wrong with my first birth? It left me in sin, and the Bible teaches no sin will enter heaven, Revelation 21, 27. So, what if I don't get born again? Transition statement. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look down, please, at verse 23. Romans 6, 23, mark this with your pen. You'll have a little roadmap for the wages of sin is, everybody say it. Death in the Bible, friend, is not annihilation. Death in the Bible is separation. Watch my hands. This hand represents your body. This hand represents your soul. Technically, you're not a body with a soul. You're a soul with a body because God made man the living soul. Now, there's coming a day that you will not be annihilated. Your soul and body will be separated. Preacher, how do you know? Luke 16, 23, the rich man also died and was buried and in hell. Now, wait a minute. How did he die, get buried, and he went to hell? Because you're a body and a soul. So the rich man died and they buried his body, but in hell, and I'm quoting Jesus, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. He seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember, hell's a real place with real people experiencing real pain. Everybody that goes to hell is alive, awake, and aware. It is not soul sleep. You're totally conscious. So what happened? He died, he was buried, but his soul went to hell. You say, well, preacher, I got that figured out. I heard about heaven, hell, and purgatory. Can you address that? Sure. I'll be here through Thursday morning. You bring anybody from any place at any time, the greatest theologian you've ever found, and if they can produce one verse, that'll be enough, that proves a literal place called purgatory, where you go when you die and you stay until you get purged from your sins and you get out, I'm giving them $1 million. I've said that in 45 nations around the world to date. Nobody has ever come. There is no purgatory. There is a heaven. God wants you there. There is a hell. God does not want you there, but there is nothing in between. You say, preacher, do you believe that hell has fire? I believe what the Bible teaches, Mark 9, 43. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Be better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, fire is not quenched. Your foot offends you, cut it off. Be better for you to go into the kingdom of heaven halt than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, fire is not quenched. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Be better if you go into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, into the fire where the worm dieth not, fire is not quenched. 6 times Jesus Christ, who made hell, said hell has fire. One guy came up to me one day and he said, that's cruel and unusual punishment. I said, stand right there. God is not America. God is God. And he is lawless. Nobody puts laws on him. He is the God of the universe. Years ago, dear friend, I saw a man burn. I pray I'll never see it again. We had 2 children at the time, not 3. They were both babies, sound asleep. My wife was asleep. I was driving all night to a meeting. This traffic was completely stopped, black billowing smoke. Slowed down in this one. They kept motioning us through. I saw the lights, all the rescue operators, and I prayed for God's help. I'll never have to face this. As I drove by, I turned and looked at the cab of an 18-wheeler, and a truck driver was pinned in, hands flailing, screaming. His body was on fire. Preacher, did they get him out? I can't answer that. They wouldn't let me stop. But I can tell you this. If you die and go to hell, nobody's coming to your emergency. There is no second chance. There is no trap door. But there is good news according to Romans 6:23, and it says, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave a gift, which is eternal life. It comes through Jesus, so get it. There's a rescue operator coming your way right now. He has L-O-V-E on his vestments, and the scars and the wounds in his hands. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus has a gift. Don't miss the word, G-I-F-T. Your first life is a gift. You did not earn it. You received it. Eternal life is a gift. There's not one thing you can do to please God to get it. But you can receive it as a gift. Now, how are you going to receive a gift? Because the gift has already been paid for. 6 hours one Friday, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in a human body, died on a cross. He didn't die for his sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we as sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him. Out of his body came blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He was buried, but 3 days and nights later, he was raised from the dead. A man got mad at me, and he said, so you think Jesus is the only way to heaven? I said, no, sir, I know Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, what about, and I said, you stand right there, and I'm going to give you a challenge. Find me any founder of any religion who died for someone else's sin, was buried, and raised again, and come back, and we'll talk. Every founder of every religion who has died, can I give you an inside scoop, is still dead. Now, I have a question. If they couldn't save themselves, how in the world could they save you? But there is one named Jesus who did die, was buried, and raised again, and this loving, living Savior is offering you a G-I-F-T gift called eternal life. How do you get that gift? Turn to Mark chapter 1. How do you get that gift? Jesus made it very plain and gave us two words to help us understand it in Mark chapter 1. And verse 14 and 15, after that John was put into prison, Jesus came in the Galilee preaching the gospel or the good news and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Watch what he said. I'm reading God's word. Repent ye and believe. What does it mean to repent? The word repent means to change your mind. Now, folk, make this plain. You cannot change your life. And if you could, God would not accept your change. If your good was good enough, Jesus would not have needed to die. But you can change your mind. Now, how do you do that? Anybody ever teach you that baby baptism will take you to heaven? I'll give you $2 million to find anybody in the Bible that was baptized as a baby to go to heaven. It's not taught. Never has been, never will be. Change your mind. You ever said confirmation will save me? Nowhere in the Bible is confirmation used in relation to getting saved. It's dealing with growth and grace. Anybody ever tell you if you go to church, you'll go to heaven? Well, then the next time you walk in your garage, stop and say, I'm now a car. Ladies and gentlemen, all that is false. It's a lie. Change your mind, because baptism, confirmation, catechism, going to church, and your works. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Only God changes your life. But you have to change your mind. And Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. Then he said, and believe. Now, that's like a coin that I would take out of my pocket, maybe a quarter. I don't have two quarters. I have one, heads and tails, two sides of the same coin. Heads, repent. Don't change your life. God will do that. You change your mind. Tails, believe. Transfer all that you've been trusting in to the one who's trustworthy. Get this. If you come to Jesus, you must believe who he is, and I want to declare from the Bible, he is God, and he is the only God. Oprah Winfrey said, Jesus is a way to heaven, but not the only way. Let God be true, and let Oprah be a liar. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Those are the words of Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you must believe who he is, and you must believe what he did for you. Watch. You don't want to miss heaven. There are many people who will say, well, Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. Well, if that takes you to heaven, Satan is going, because he believes Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. That's not how you get saved. It's not? No. That's history. If you want to be saved, you must believe that Jesus Christ as God loves you and died for you and shed his blood for you and was buried for you and was raised again for you. This is history. This is reality.
Amen.
There are a lot of people who will give an assent to history that will never go to heaven.
That's right.
But until it's reality, that makes the difference. Your pastor said when he was 7, there was a profession of faith in a church, but there was no reality, I think, until you said 23. You see, there's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven will end up in hell. Don't you be one of them. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me correct some bad theology. Maybe you've heard this. Well, I said, God, if you're there, save me. Where did you get that? Anywhere in the Bible. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And he's rewarded of them that diligently seek him. And then the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I was about to have a wreck, and I said, Jesus, that's not calling on the name of the Lord. Well, I was at war, and I said, if you'll just get me out of here, that's not calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord means I can't, you can, and I'm coming to you for all that you are and all that you can do, just like I am. Here's a question. Has that ever happened to you? Now, you give yourself your testimony. When did you get born again? Summer, winter, spring, or fall? Where did you get born again? Church, home, Bible school, Sunday school. Who led you to Christ? Mom, dad, pastor, teacher. What Bible truth guarantees you you're going to heaven? Now, when you framed up your testimony, if you came up with a question mark, the good news is today you can repent, put your faith in Jesus, receive him, walk out for the first time in your life knowing you're going to heaven. Do you know, on the authority of the Bible, that's happened to you? Would you close your Bible? Let me close the message. We've seen the convictions of the soul winner. We have ability, authority, and accountability. We've seen the communication of Scripture. And finally, I want you to see the compassion for the sinner. Would you look right up here? Where was Jesus? He was on the Mount of Olives. I've been there many times. What was he looking at? Well, as he looked down, the temple would have been there. He said, now, men, I want you to first go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tell all these religious people they need a relationship with me. Go love them. Then when you finish there, I want you to go to Judea. And oh, by the way, you're not going to like this, but I want you to go to Samaria too. Now, why would they have been upset about Samaria? The Samaritans were half-breeds. They had intermarried. The Jewish people hated them. Let me put it so you'll understand it. The Jewish people were racist in that day. So listen all the way to the back row. If there's somebody you won't witness to because of their color, because of their neighborhood, because of their education or lack of it, you need to ask God's forgiveness for your wicked heart. When Christ died, he died for everybody. Every sinner, past, present, and future, he loves you. And then to the uttermost part of the earth. Why have I been in 45 nations? Why will I go back to Cuba and India? Why am I preaching all across the world? Because there are people who've never heard the name of Jesus one time. I finished preaching in Uganda. Hundreds had come to Christ. I'm sweat running off of me. John's my translator. A delegation comes. They're talking, but I don't understand what they're saying. John, what are they saying? Well, he said, they came to tell you thank you because nobody's ever been to their town before to tell them that Jesus saves. Ladies and gentlemen, 50% of this world has still never heard the name Jesus one time. Let me give you a compassion test. Since some having compassion making a difference, since Jesus was moved with compassion, let me give you a compassion test. Pastor and I have gone to eat. We've come back from lunch, and we're at your next-door neighbor's house. You pull in from wherever you've been to eat. You say, looks like Pastor and Dr. Farrell. I wonder what they're doing. You roll your window down, and I say to your neighbor, hi, I'm Dr. Tom Farrell, and I just preached this morning at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, and the people with their window down go to church there. And I just came to ask you, have they ever come over here to your house to tell you how much Jesus loves you? And they would say, what? The early 1900s, the Iroquois Theater caught on fire. If you study history, 600 people burned alive. A teenage girl got out with her life. But she pushed people out of her way. She ran and crawled on a streetcar and all of a sudden was overcome with emotion. She looked down and saw her hands that had been singed by the flames as she pushed people out of her way to save her own life. She smelled smoke on her clothes. She began to cry, and the dignified lady sitting on the streetcar next to her heard her say, "Oh, dear Lord." The woman said, "You ought to thank your Lord you're alive. I saw you come out of that building." She turned respectfully and she said, "I am glad that I'm alive." And then she looked up and said, "But oh dear Lord, I didn't bring anybody with me." I dare say if Jesus met you at your car door in the parking lot today, most of you in this building would have to say, "Oh dear Lord, I didn't bring anybody with me." What have we learned this morning? There must be the convictions of the soul winner. I have ability, authority, and accountability. No excuse. There's the communication of Scripture. Everybody in here today has a way to do that. And there must be the compassion for the sinner, because some having compassion making a difference. And so I'd like to ask you this morning, are you actively, regularly involved in the biggest business in all the world? If Jesus Christ came and closed this service and said, "I'm going to have those who in 2:16 were actively, regularly involved in the biggest business in all the world to stand and come stand with me. Please come when I call your name." Would you be sitting or standing? Everybody has an answer. Last question, and I'm done this morning. Let's suppose that Jesus Christ came this morning and he came into this building and he did not bring a book of music, but he brought the book of life. The Bible says, "Whoever's not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. There will be no arguments at the great white throne judgment, none." Let's suppose he walks up and he tells me to go sit down. And let me say, so everybody understand this, I'm no better than anybody in this room. I'm not going to heaven because my grandfather was a circuit riding preacher. My father was a pastor. My uncle was a pastor. My father-in-law was a pastor. My brother-in-law was a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because of any of that. You go to heaven because you've repented and believed the gospel, and you go to hell if you don't. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the book of life, and I'm going to call names of everybody here who's going to my heaven, and when I call your name, stand. I won't take you to heaven this morning. But if I do not call your name and you're still sitting when I'm finished," says Jesus, "you will not go home. You will go to hell," from Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Name one is called and an elderly man stands. You hear him say, "Thank you, Jesus." Name two is called, a recently saved teenager. You hear him say, "Thank you, Jesus. You've been mad at me while I was preaching. My religion's good enough. I've done the best I can. If anybody goes to heaven, it'll be because of my own work." But you don't hear your name. People are standing around you, but you don't hear your name. You can't run out and say, "I don't like preaching like this," because God is here. And finally, the last name is called, and the book of life is closed. Did Jesus call your name? Can you prove from this book that your name is in the book of life? If you just said no or "I don't know," today is your day to repent of your sin, put your faith in Christ, and let God pin your name in that eternal book. And then you too can get involved in the biggest business in all the world. Let's bow our heads to pray. Would you quietly before the Lord, not disturbed, just let God speak to your heart? First question, how many of you could say, "Preacher, I don't think, hope, or wish, but I'm absolutely certain that I have been born again God's way. I'm also certain my name is in the book of life. And if I died today just like I am, I'm certain I'd go to heaven. I'm going to ask it again because I want you to think it through." You could say and then prove from your Bible, "I'm certain I've been born again God's way. I'm certain my name is in the book of life. And I am certain I'm going to heaven if I died just like I am." Now, friend, if you don't know that, we're not going to embarrass you. That's the reason we bowed our heads. But you better be honest. See, you could lie to God and drive God from your presence forever, so be very careful. How many of you could say and prove from your Bible, "I've been born again God's way. My name is in the book of life. I'm absolutely certain I'm going to heaven. I can prove all of that from my Bible." Only if that's true about you would you raise your hand to the God who knows. Only if you're certain, no doubt about it, and you could prove it. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now, if you did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. God loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. Here's a wonderful truth sitting in your seat between you and God right now. You can open your heart like the front door in your house, and Jesus Christ will come in. He promised. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. No prayer you've ever prayed, including this one, will save you. But if you will pray, the word means ask, you as a sinner will ask Jesus, the only Savior, and he will do exactly what he promised. He will come into your life, take away your sin, your name will be in the book of life, and when you leave without joining anything, for the first time in your life, you can know you're going to heaven. If you did not raise your hand, if you don't have a Bible assurance that your name is in the book of life, pray after me silently. Pray after me sincerely this simple prayer. I'll pray a phrase and stop. You pray it from your heart silently. Here it is, your opportunity to let Jesus completely forgive you. I'm going to pray. You pray after me from your heart to God's silently. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. Nothing I've ever done or can do will save me. Today, February 5, 2017, I repent of my sin. I put all of my faith in you, Jesus. I receive your righteousness and the gift of eternal life. Thank you for putting my name in the book of life. Help me never to be ashamed of you. Now we're bowed before the Lord. Did you pray that? It wasn't the prayer that saved you. That's what took you to the Savior. If you prayed in a minute, God heard you, forgave you, put your name in the book of life, and made this specific statement, if you believe on me, you'll not be ashamed. One of the ways you can know what happened to you is real is that you're not ashamed. If you're ashamed, nothing happened. You just had another religious experience. But if you're not ashamed, it's God's way of letting you know this is the real deal. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. A moment ago, you could not raise your hand, but in a moment, you can. When you raise your hand and I see it, I will say thank you. I'll not name you. I don't know you. I'm from out of town, but I'll say thank you. I'll know today you made the wisest decision you've ever made, and I'll do anything that I can to be a help and a blessing to you. As we're bowed before the Lord, if you prayed with me today, that simple prayer, not just words, but from your heart to God's heart, if you prayed with me today, that simple prayer, you asked God to come in your life, you're glad that you did, and you're not in shame. If you just prayed with me that simple prayer, and you meant it, right now, please, raise your hand with mine. Just hold them straight up, and I'll see them. I just prayed that, and I'm in it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm thankful for each one of you. Others along with these, I prayed that, I meant that, and I'm so glad that I did. I'm not the least bit embarrassed. If you've lifted your hand, I've seen it. You need not raise it again. If you prayed with me and did not raise your hand, would you raise it right now? Anybody else, you hold it up, and I'll see it. And I'll say thank you. Anybody else? Good. Wonderful. May we stand, please, with our heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for these who said yes to you. May all of heaven have cause for rejoicing for what you just did in their lives. May this be a monumental day. We're bowed before the Lord. I only want to speak today to those of you who are friends and now family members. I want to tell you what Jesus did for you. But I only want to speak to you, no one else, please. If you prayed with me that simple prayer and raised your hand, if you prayed with me a moment ago that simple prayer and raised your hand, right now, please, look up at me. Just look straight up at me. I want to look back at you. I want to say to you today across this building, if you prayed and meant what you prayed, God heard you, forgave you, entered your life, put your name in the book of life. You couldn't go to hell if you tried. You now belong to Jesus. When Jesus died, please watch me very carefully. When Jesus died, he died publicly. He was not ashamed of you. If you received him, you're not ashamed of him. Greatest day in your life. In a moment, Pastor and I are coming here, but nobody's going to join the church. Other people around you will be singing. But I'm going to say to each one of you that is looking at me, if you prayed with me, and I believe you did in a minute, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, come where we're standing. I'm going to say, welcome to God's family. Like to put free information in your hand, have prayer with you, encourage you, and say good day to you. Now, if you're like this, I don't want anybody to know what happened. Nothing happened. If you're like this and you're not ashamed, It's God's way of letting you know you belong to Him. The Bible teaches that in heaven they celebrate for you. Literally, they celebrate for you. You want to give them that opportunity. Wherever you are in this building, if you're looking at me, you come. Play the first chord of Just As I Am, please. And let's sing, you step out right now, come, and let heaven celebrate for you. Would you do that? You come quickly as we sing. Just as I am without one plea, just leave your seat. And you come, and God will get glory. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Now we're bowed before the Lord. If you did not mean what you prayed, I will understand that. Please don't come. But if you did mean what you prayed, if you'll take that first step, God will help you to take all the others. We're going to sing, you step out and come, let heaven celebrate for you. When we sing, you just move from your seat and we'll celebrate and help you. Just as I am and waiting not. You sing it, you step out and come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb.